This is Good News Hour, and your speaker at this time is Evangelist David S. Horn, coming to you with another message from the third chapter of the Gospel by John. In a previous broadcast, we spoke to you from the first 15 verses of this chapter. Now today, we're taking up the same chapter, but we're beginning at about verse 15, and we'll read through to the end of the chapter, or at least in part. Now, may, if you have time, you just pick up your Bibles and read with me, or watch as I read. And we're going to start in John 3, and we're going to start at verse 15 of this chapter, and may God bless the reading of His precious Word. Well, in verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Now in the same chapter, but now down to verse 31, "He that cometh from above is above all," and that's the Savior. "And he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all," that's twice repeated. "And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hands. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." One verse in chapter 8, and this time it's going to be verse 28. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I can do nothing of myself." And into chapter 12, the Savior said, "And I, if I be lifted up," that's verse 32, "shall draw all men unto me." This He spake, signifying what death He should die. Now with that little word on our hearts and minds, I'm going to start in verse 14 of this chapter, and we'll just look at it once again. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." We tried to point out in the last message that the serpent was lifted up as God's divine panacea for the sin-bitten, snake-bitten Israelite. And if they responded, if they took God at His word, they were immediately healed of their serpent bite. Now, He turns right around in this same verse and says, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." That's the Savior. Why was He lifted up? Yes, He was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. He was there between heaven and earth, dying on that cross. Why? Well, just as the uplifted serpent was lifted up as a divine panacea for the nation of Israel that had been bitten by serpents, now the Savior comes to us, and He has a divine panacea for those that have been bitten by sin. And the sin bite is worse than the serpent bite. A man may have a serpent bite and die and go to heaven, but in the Israelite was punished because of his sin, and that's why God sent that day snakes, the serpents, to make to cause them to be bitten. But now in the chapter that's before us, in verse 15 of this chapter, the purpose of His being lifted up was, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He must be lifted up. Now this is the purpose, "that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why the Savior was lifted up, just like the serpent was lifted up. It was a cure-all for those that would accept it. And this is God's cure-all for those that will accept Christ as their Savior. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we say, lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Then comes the golden text of the Bible, and it's verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was reading that one day to a lady, and she said, well, I think there's other verses that's much more simple and much more clear than John 3:16, she said. Well, I said, do you know your trouble? Your trouble is this, and I'll show you from the Word of God. And I went back to verse 14 of this chapter. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, now he's there on that, he was there on that uplifted pole in order that men who are bitten might believe and look and live. Now I said the Savior is lifted up as God's way of salvation for men to look and live. Now I said he turns right around and says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When they believed God on that day when they were bitten, and they obeyed God by looking at that serpent, immediately they were healed. When men and women, boys and girls, obey God today and look away from themselves and look to Christ alone for salvation, at once they'll have everlasting life. A man sat one day in his father's home in a rocking chair about 9:30 at night when the rest of the family had retired, and he opened the Bible as far as he said, I remember. At least I hadn't read very much, but I opened to John's Gospel, chapter 3, I don't know why. But he said, there I read verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he bowed his head. He said, Lord, it's in the Bible, and you have said that you can't lie right here and now. I accept you as my Savior. Some months later, some years later, the same man, he was a farmer, and he had a big sale. He had been a cattle and horse raiser. Now he was having a big sale, selling out and about to retire. So he called the auctioneer, that is, the day was set for the sale. And before the time for the sale to start at 1:30, he said to the auctioneer, will you call the men together 15 or 20 minutes early? Just tell them we have something to say. And so the auctioneer said, now, it's hardly time for the sale, but someone has a message for you men before the sale starts. And so we were standing out at the barn on a big high driveway, and the rest of the people were down low, scattered around on the ground, hundreds of them. And this man took up his Bible and said, gentlemen, I have spoken to you many times individually. This will be my first time collectively. I want to tell you how God saved my soul. He took that Bible, put it on his hand, held it out, and he read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Elmer Breckenridge, that was his name, believes on him, he'll not perish but have everlasting life. I believed it, and for all those years I've been saved and on my way to heaven. And then he sat down. Then he said, we have the Horn brothers here, and each one of them will speak a little word. And so I added a little word. My brother added a little word. And the sale was over. The auctioneer, in a short time after, he became very ill, and he died. And before he died, he said, Mr. Breckenridge, I want you to preach my funeral. And Elmer had led the man of Christ. And they hired the biggest place that could be had. And Elmer stood up. He said, I'm Elmer Breckenridge, the farmer. But he said, this man has requested I preach his funeral. You know I'm not a preacher, but I'm saved and going to heaven. I'll tell you how this man got saved. I read the Word of God to him, and I pointed him to the Savior. He trusted Christ with his soul. He passed from death into life, and the man is saved now and already in the glory. If you'll take his Savior, you can be saved too. Now, we're not getting very far in this chapter, but again, in verse 17 of this chapter, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." A Savior big enough and able and willing to save all that come unto God by Him. The Word says, "Wherefore, He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him." Will you come? Will you come? Receive Him today. Listen to this, and I'll say amen. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned or judged, and he that believeth not is condemned already. Believe it, receive Him, and thou shalt be saved."
Now surely it must have been heart-cheering to hear the story of God's wondrous grace and love, the love story of the Bible, and we trust that it has reached not only your intellect, but that it has reached your heart, because, you know, after all, it's only the truth that reaches the heart that will produce something for eternity. Now we are waiting anxiously to get a line from you. We know you're enjoying these programs, and of course, we'd like this confirmed. And if you'd drop us a line, please, to the following address, it would indeed gladden our hearts. Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas.